Modernism and the Enlightenment. In philosophy, modernism's essentials are located in the formative figures of Francis Bacon, 1561 to 1626, and René Descartes, 1596 to 1650, for their influence upon epistemology, and more comprehensively in John Locke, 1632 to 1704, for his influence upon all aspects of philosophy. Bacon, Descartes, and Locke are modern because of their philosophical naturalism, their profound confidence in reason, and especially in the case of Locke, their individualism. Modern thinkers start from nature instead of starting with some form of the supernatural, which had been the characteristic starting point of pre-modern medieval philosophy. Modern thinkers stress that perception and reason are the human means of knowing nature, in contrast to the pre-modern reliance upon tradition, faith, and mysticism. Modern thinkers stress human autonomy and the human capacity for forming one's own character, in contrast to the pre-modern emphasis upon dependence and original sin. Modern thinkers emphasize the individual, seeing the individual as the unit of reality, holding that the individual's mind is sovereign, and that the individual is the unit of value, in contrast to the pre-modern feudal subordination of the individual to higher political, social, or religious realities and authorities. Modern philosophy came to maturity in the Enlightenment. The Enlightenment philosophers quite rightly saw themselves as radical. The pre-modern medieval worldview and the modern Enlightenment worldview were coherent, comprehensive, and entirely opposed accounts of reality and the place of human beings within it. Medievalism had dominated the West for 1,000 years, from roughly 400 CE to 1400 CE. In a centuries-long transition period, the thinkers of the Renaissance, with some unintended help from the major Reformation figures, undermined the medieval worldview and paved the way for the revolutionaries of the 17th and 18th centuries. By the 18th century, the pre-modern philosophy of the medieval era had been routed intellectually, and the philosophers were moving quickly to transform society on the basis of the new modern philosophy. The modern philosophers disagreed among themselves about many issues, but their core agreements outweighed the disagreements. Descartes' account of reason, for example, is rationalist, while Bacon's and Locke's are empiricist, thus placing them at the heads of competing schools. But what is fundamental to all three is the central status of reason as objective and competent, in contrast to the faith, mysticism, and intellectual authoritarianism of earlier ages. Once reason is given pride of place, the entire Enlightenment project follows. If one emphasizes that reason is a faculty of the individual, then individualism becomes a key theme in ethics. Locke's A Letter Concerning Toleration, 1689, and Two Treatises of Government, 1690, are landmark texts in the modern history of individualism. Both link the human capacity for reason to ethical individualism and its social consequences, the prohibition of force against another's independent judgment or action, individual rights, political equality, limiting the power of government, and religious toleration. If one emphasizes that reason is the faculty of understanding nature, then that epistemology systematically applied yields science. Enlightenment thinkers laid the foundations of all the major branches of science. In mathematics, Isaac Newton and Gottfried Leibniz independently developed the calculus, Newton developing his version in 1666 and Leibniz publishing his in 1675. The most monumental publication in the history of modern physics, Newton's Principia Mathematica, appeared in 1687. A century of unprecedented investigation and achievement led to the production of Carolus Linnaeus's Systema Naturae in 1735 and Philosophia Botanica in 1751, jointly presenting a comprehensive biological taxonomy, and to the production of Antoine Lavoisier's Traité élémentaire de chimie, Treatise on Chemical Elements, in 1789, the landmark text in the foundations of chemistry. Individualism and science are thus consequences of an epistemology of reason. Both applied systematically have enormous consequences. Individualism applied to politics yields liberal democracy. Liberalism is the principle of individual freedom, and democracy is the principle of decentralizing political power to individualism. As individualism rose in the modern world, feudalism declined. England's liberal revolution in 1688 began the trend. Modern political principles spread to America and France in the 18th century, leading to liberal revolutions there in 1776 and 1789. The weakening and overthrow of the feudal regimes then made possible the extension, practically, of liberal individualist ideas to all human beings. Racism and sexism are obvious affronts to individualism, and so had been increasingly on the defensive as the 18th century progressed. For the first time ever in history, societies were formed for the elimination of slavery. In America in 1784, in England in 1787, and a year later in France. And in 1791 and 1792, the publication of Olympe de Gouges' Declaration of the Rights of Women and Mary Wollstonecraft's A Vindication of the Rights of Women, landmarks in the push for women's liberty and equality. Individualism applied to economics yields free markets and capitalism. Capitalist economics is based on the principle that individuals should be left free to make their own decisions about production, consumption, and trade. As individualism rose in the 18th century, feudal and mercantilist arguments and institutions declined. With the development of free markets came a theoretical grasp of the productive impact of the division of labor and specialization, and of the retarding impact of protectionism and other restrictive regulations. Capturing and extending those insights, Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations, published in 1776, is the landmark text in the history of modern economics. Theory and practice developed in tandem, and as markets became freer and more international, the amount of wealth available increased dramatically. For example, N.F.R. Kraft's estimates of British average annual income, accepted by both pro- and anti-capitalist historians, show a historically unprecedented rise from $333 in 1700 to $399 in 1760 to $427 in 1800 to $498 in 1830, and then a big jump to $804 in 1860. Science, applied systematically to material production, yields engineering and technology. The new culture of reasoning, experimenting, entrepreneurship, and the free exchange of ideas and wealth meant that by the mid-1700s, scientists and engineers were discovering knowledge and creating technologies on a historically unprecedented scale. The outstanding consequence of this was the Industrial Revolution, which was metaphorically picking up steam by the 1750s and literally picking up steam with the success of James Watt's engine after 1769. Thomas Arkwright's Water Frame, 1769, James Hargreaves' Spinning Jenny, around 1769, and Samuel Crompton's Mule, 1779, all revolutionized spinning and weaving. Between 1760 and 1780, for example, British consumption of raw cotton went up 540%, from 1.2 to 6.5 million pounds. The rich stuck to their handmade goods for a while, so the first things to be mass-produced in the new factories were cheap goods for the masses. Soap, cotton clothes and linens, shoes, Wedgwood china, iron pots, and so on. Science applied to the understanding of human beings yields medicine. The new approaches to understanding the human being as a naturalistic organism drew upon the new studies, begun in the Renaissance, of human physiology and anatomy. Supernaturalistic and other pre-modern accounts of human ailments were swept aside as, by the second half of the 18th century, medicine put itself increasingly on a scientific footing. The outstanding consequence was that, combined with the rise in wealth, modern medicine increased human longevity dramatically. Edward Jenner's discovery of the smallpox vaccine in 1796, for example, both provided a protection against a major killer of the 18th century and established the science of immunization. Advances in obstetrics both established it as a separate branch of medicine and, more strikingly, contributed to the significant decline of infant mortality rates. In London, for example, the death rate for children before the age of 5 fell from 74.5% in 1730 to 1749 to 31.8% in 1810 to 1829. Modern philosophy matured in the 1700s until the dominant set of views of the era were naturalism, reason and science, tabula rasa, individualism, and liberalism. The Enlightenment was both the dominance of those ideas in intellectual circles and their translation into practice. As a result, individuals were becoming freer, wealthier, living longer, and enjoying more material comfort than at any point before in history.